do an intro.
Yep. You gotta count to 10. All right, it's 10. Do an intro.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from a nice, warm, toasty, tasty Bear Sketch wine at a whopping 9 degrees Fahrenheit. We alter your locus aurelius and give it colonoscopies of, I don't know.
Man.
can you feel the colonoscopy, Michael, Lisa, and Jeremy?
Can you feel it? No.
I don't know if I want to feel that.
I'll pass. Yeah.
Well, you know, ladies are supposed to get them, too, these days.
Yeah.
And the Freedom Fiends, they tell me.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except for governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep. And we have the show, the image we're going to use for the show tonight. This is Michael Dean talking, and that was Lou Fiend talking. And we got Lisa. What's your last name now? You got so many of them. I don't know. DeLasho?
Today, I'm using DeLasho today.
Okay. She's lashed to the door. And Jeremy Heisenberg, right?
Yeah, that works.
No, what's your last name?
It's Hengeler, but we can go with Heisenberg.
Okay. I like Heisenberg. Can we do that?
Yeah, I'd like that too.
Yeah. Or it's Yeisenberg in the Colombian version of it. Spelled with a J. Okay, so the image I'm going to use tonight, we're doing visual humor on the radio. I made a comeback with a bear cat door hanger, so people can print this out. I'll use it for the show notes today. I'll post it on the Freedom Fiends Twitter right now, and people know where that is, so they can go look at it. But yeah, man, come back with a bear cat, because you know some people have these things that say come back with a warrant. Jim Babb last night said he wants to say come back with a bear cat. A bear cat is one of those armored vehicles that cops all have now. But they're actually named after an animal called a bear cat that looks like a cross between a bear and a wolverine and a cat. And so I put pictures of a bear cat on it with the BIPCOT license that says this domicile licensed BIPCOT no government. And the government entry or presence by government agents forbidden. More info at BIPCOT.org. Come back with a bear cat. And it's got pictures of the animal. So there you go.
The problem with the phrase come back with a warrant is literally saying go to your coworker and have him give you written permission to come sort through my stuff.
Yeah, and come back with a bear cat is like you don't even need to ask anybody. You can just come back and knock down my door generally.
Yeah, it's like, you keep your government hands off of my property, unless, of course, you have, like, a note from your boss.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anywho.
My first novel, which came out in 1999, before I was even a libertarian, had a fantasy in it where the main character, Cash Newman, this third-rate rock star based on me, this low rent rock star is talking to this girl that he likes, and they're talking about what they're going to be like in the future. And he talks about, like, you know, giving up drugs and getting married to his best friend and being 40 or 50 and living somewhere like Albuquerque and doing weird art with welding and painting and writing novels. And being out of the loop and out of the drug scene, out of the rock and roll scene. And then he talks about, like, dying in a hail of ATF bullets while 50 blonde virgins, a choir of 50 blonde virgins sing his praises. So, you know, I've had a good run. Bring it on, man. Come back with a bear cat.
Dude,
well, my wife's at work. She doesn't need to deal with that.
Until you get 72 virgins, you're nothing.
What did I say? 40?
50.
50. Yeah, I don't even think I knew the phrase 72 virgins at that point. I just, like, had this, you know, vision of this angelic choir of young ladies singing my praises while I die in a hail of ATF bullets.
Printed out. I'll be getting them laminated tomorrow.
Yeah. Print the myth, not the story. That's what I say. So I want to thank Afine. AJ, we'll just call him. I don't know if he wants his full name used, but I said last night I needed $100 to buy this recording pulse oximeter to measure my oxygen while I sleep, and a fiend came through, and I just ordered it, man. So that's hot. I have so much medical equipment now at home that, like, it looks like it's a hospice. I live in a hospice now. It's not even a hospital bed.
A teaching hospice.
A teaching hospice. All right. So what's up, guys? Kels?
I'm on the Twitter now.
I know you are.
If I look up the seat,
you don't.
So now I'm going to Twitter at people.
Yeah,
and I can be found at Lusander Fiend.
I was very excited to wake up to that today, Lou.
I put in the show notes last night. I was your first follower.
Oh, you did? Yes, yep. You were. You got my Twitter purity.
Yeah.
I'm jealous about that.
Yeah. Well, it's more like I don't have a life and I'm in front of the computer because I'm sick, so it's not that it's not cool.
Lisa, you have to remember that I've known Michael for a lot longer than I've known you, and we have a special relationship.
Years. Yeah, we're twin sons from different mothers.
Yeah, and like several years apart because he's much older than I am.
I've seen him naked.
Yeah. I've seen you naked.
Yeah. We've sat on a toilet. Have you seen the toilet picture, Lisa and Jeremy?
I don't know.
I have seen the toilet picture, yes.
You haven't seen his and his toilets holding hands?
He did show me that. He did.
Didn't a couple of the guys try to recreate that this year, too? Derek J and somebody else, I thought?
Yeah, and
Diana. Diana Kyler.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Yep, it was hot. I'd hit it all, man.
That's a special kind of bond right there.
That is. Yeah. I'd hit all my fiends. I'll just say it right now. Okay, so is this even radio?
That comes
anymore?
Off. That comes off so wrong, depending on when you walk into that conversation.
I know.
Yeah.
If you just tuned in on radio,
all somebody hears is, "I will hit all my fiends."
I will. I'd hit that.
Yeah. Well, actually, going back though, and Lisa, here's something else you could be jealous of. The Freedom Fiends was the very first podcast that I had ever listened to. So Michael and Nima got my podcast purity. Also,
you know, your story from like, you know, the audience to the microphone reminds me of my friend London May from Los Angeles, who I actually met in Baltimore like 25 years ago when he played in a band called Reptile House, but he later played in Samhain, Danzig's band. He played drums in that band. And he was like a huge fan of the band and then ended up playing drums in the band. And he wrote an article about it for the liner notes of one of their live records. And it's called like from the Mosh Pit to the Drum Riser by London May. And I love that title. And it's kind of like Lou's journey from listening to these voices in the wilderness to like sitting there at Porkfest with the Anarchy coffee mug serving coffee and memes on the radio.
Oh, the Status Recovery House coffee press. Yeah, I'm gonna have to take that to Porkfest this year again.
I know it needs a Bipcot sticker on it though.
We can work it out.
Yeah, it needs a comeback with a Bearcat Bipcot sticker. This coffee and drinking this coffee by government agents is forbidden.
But actually, I think my rise from audience member to being a host, kind of like the Tommy Chong bit where he's talking about what he did over summer vacation, how he'd go hang out in front of the drugstore every single day, and then he got a job keeping people from hanging out in front of the drugstore every single day.
And then he ended up getting all the free drugs.
I don't know about free drugs, but
he probably did
some dumpster diving.
Lou and I sitting on toilets together having our picture taken while 10 people laughed and 5 of them took pictures while we had our pants down. It wasn't a gay thing. It was brotherly love. And I want to say, not that there's anything wrong with gay things like that on the toilets, but what I want to say is it wasn't us being crass. There was a purpose. We were on there singing love songs to Barack Obama while pooing. We were praising our president. We don't agree with the man, but you gotta love the chair, the throne. Right?
The reality of that is I was stinking drunk, but in alcohol's defense, I would have done it sober. But I was stinking drunk, and Nicole, the official fiend photographer, came up and said,
Nicole Fiendwoim.
Yeah, she came over and said, "Hey, we want you and Michael to take pictures on the toilets in the bathrooms over there."
And
after the movie's done showing, I'm like, "Yeah, okay, cool, whatever." Al,
I mean, because I was really psyched to do it because I hadn't spontaneously done something that crass in a long time, and it's like when I was in a rock band, that was kind of like, you know, that was the warm up for the evening, was stuff like that. But hey, let's go in the girls' bathroom and take pictures of you on the toilet for this magazine. I'm like, okay, got any speed, you know? But yeah, snorting powders off of strippers, why not? Hey, what do you call it? What do you call a musician without a girlfriend? Homeless. I'm so like on tonight. So I'm finally going down again for the second time, incrementally on my dosage of prednisone. I was at 30, and then I went down to 25 in two steps, like 3 weeks apart. It took me 6 weeks to get to 25, and I went from I've been taking 15 milligrams in the morning and 10 at night. And I went down to 12.5 milligrams in the morning today. And like all of a sudden my adrenal glands woke up and they're like, oh, you want us to make stuff? Okay. Yeah, 'cause they shut off from prednisone and it can kill you going cold turkey on this. It's actually, I will say this, kicking heroin is easier than getting off prednisone. I mean, there's 3 days of hell getting off heroin, but getting off prednisone is like 3 months of heck, man. I'd rather kick the heroin. It's easier.
I'm dropping down to 14 milligrams on my nicotine patches.
What were you at? 21?
21, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you just cutting patches or are you buying patches?
No, I actually have the proper dosage, so it's none of that trailer park stuff where you got to get the scissors out.
The trailer park stuff. It's cheaper because they're all the same price, man. Well, when you want to get on from 14, just cut the 14s in half or two-thirds.
I'm not paying for it, so I'm cool.
Oh, okay. Your employer.
Yeah. They like the idea that I'm going to quit smoking, so.
Don't eat the patches. Don't eat the patches.
No, I'm going to try not to.
Okay.
I've never had to take prednisone. Does it have the same effect on humans as it does on animals? Because it makes animals ravenous, and they have to eat constantly.
Yeah, that's one of the side effects. That, and it makes you really cranky and aggressive. Although, at 30 milligrams, I was cranky and aggressive, and at 25, my wife says I'm sweet and patient. I actually wrote MK Lords today and asked her to come back on the show and said, hey, whatever I said to make you run away, it was the drugs talking, baby. Oh. She didn't write back yet, but I'll put it
it's
out.
It's still early.
It was mostly my fault. I see that. It's all my fault. On the radio.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
People wouldn't believe the conversation that we had during the break. My God, that was just so off the chain. And it's something that should have gone on air, but it probably can't because that's just how over the top it was. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm just kidding. We were just shooting the bull about silly nonsense stuff. And one thing that we did not discuss, though, is what in the heck are we going to talk about now?
Oh, where's the plan? Oh, wait a minute.
Bueller. I heard there were some pompous circumstances last night, and I was going to live meme it, but that would have meant that I had to watch. Did anybody hear what the liar Stinky Feet Socialist had to say?
I saw some random posts about it, some people who were watching, and it was just a lot of, you know, it's the typical... we're gonna cure cancer and the economy is great, you know, it's getting better and improving and you know, that kind of talk.
Yeah, and quite frankly, if they have to tell you that it's getting better, it's not getting better.
Right. And the thing is, like, I've been reminding people that Obama can say whatever he wants and people can give him credit or blame for the economy, but, you know, it's mostly controlled by the Federal Reserve, which, mm-hmm. of course, you know, the Senate just voted to not audit.
Well, you do know why, don't you?
Of course.
Why?
Where do I start?
Well,
who works being, for whom?
Well, being that I'm on Twitter now, I'll give a brief little explanation. The voting no against auditing the Fed is kind of like their right to avoid self-incrimination. You know, kind of like executive mm-hmm. privileges for the president. And the reason for that is, and there's an article that you're going to talk about, without the Federal Reserve, without central banking in a fiat currency system, there is absolutely no way that government could be what it is today. You could not have the welfare state buying off the votes of the poor. You could not have the warfare state buying off the votes of the wealthy. You could not have an omnipotent, omniscient government that just infests every single darn thing on earth. What you'd be stuck with is what people envision government to actually be. You know, yep. like limited. Only able to infest certain aspects of your life, and not even really infest too much. I mean, it would actually be more of just a nuisance rather than an impediment to your survival.
Yeah, well, it's basic, you know, it's actually basic economics. It's a lot easier to keep creating when there's no end to the so-called money that you have, and when they can just keep making it up, then, yeah, they can just spend whatever they want and can't let anybody look behind the curtain, because that would spell big trouble for a lot of people, unfortunately for them. So that's why they don't want to audit it. My favorite part about that, though, is, I mean, obviously it's, you know, we're in a meme world these days, but people immediately started attacking Ted Cruz over that, because he has talked such a big game about, you know, wanting to audit the Fed, and, you know, he was supposedly buddies with Rand at one point about that, and then he mysteriously did not show up for the vote. So.
Are you talking about the Ted Cruz whose wife is like one of the big bosses at Goldman Sachs?
Yeah, ironically, it's one and the same.
Or is that a different Cruz?
Yeah, I think they may be connected somehow, but yeah, it's and there's still people out there supporting him and all the rest of them, because it's easier to remain ignorant and just blame somebody else.
Well, I mean, of course, though, with money, I mean, why shouldn't you be able to, like, just create a bunch of it whenever you need it, you know? Because we all know that inflation is just the greedy bourgeois capitalist exploiter pigs raising the prices of things for arbitrary reasons, or for no reason whatsoever, other than to satisfy their never-ending greed.
But, oh, yeah, they got to line their pockets somehow. I mean, come on now.
But that's just the government school version of it. But anywho, Lisa, you've been quiet for a couple minutes. Yak.
Yak.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you about this
yak,
article?
Yak, wait a minute. Isn't that when Nick's on?
I was going to say, wait a minute.
and filling in for Nick Hazelton, we have Lisa DeLascio. Tell us a little
Granny.
Bit about this article.
Yak talk with Granny Lisa. There you go.
Yeah, Granny Snaps. Lisa. I love it. It's a, I don't know. Yeah, Granny Snaps. That's great. Just keeps getting better.
All right. When we come back from the break, Granny Snaps Ginger Lisa will be talking about an article about the Fed, and Jeremy still doesn't have a wrestling name, so he is generic Jeremy, no name brand, until he comes up with one. Worms!
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And Freedom Fiends are back.
Yeah, we've temporarily lost Lou, but I think we'll power on without him until he can fix his issues.
We've lost our fearless leader. What are we going to do?
This happens way too often. I think it's a conspiracy to try to test me out.
I think it is.
It happened during my very first show with Lou, where he just disappeared and I was literally all by myself, and I heard the board op go, "Yeah, he's not coming back. You're going to have to handle this on your own." I said, "Okay, trial by fire. Here we go."
So. I listened to that one and I thought you did just fine. So.
Yeah, you know, I
better you than me. Better you than me. I would have probably passed out. So.
Well, I think Lou's actually told a similar story about something that happened either his first or second time. It was either his first or second time on, I think, that he ended up getting left all alone too. So,
yeah, you know, it's like an initiation to a fraternity, or I swear, yeah. Like you said, it's a conspiracy.
Well, no, I really thought that. I honestly thought that Michael was messing with me, because the first two times I was on, he did not pop in at all. Because being in for so long and always hearing him pop in for at least, you know, even if it's just the furries coming in and just to harass everybody, I'm always used to hearing his voice, except when he was really, really, really sick. So it was like, all right, Michael's not checking in, and Lou just disappeared on me. They're messing with me. I swear, they're messing with me.
It's a conspiracy. Tonight, I swear, there was like some kind of force working against me.
Fiend phone.
Well, hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, Lou's back.
Yay. There you are.
I had to change computers. I think I am experiencing what Lisa experienced right before the show. The one machine that I have that has FiendPhone on it, and I use exclusively for FiendPhone, it appears that Windows does want to do an update, even though I did restart it like an hour before the show, like we're supposed to. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going on, but anywho.
It's thanks, a conspiracy. Obama. We figured it out already. It's what it is. Yeah, thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks, Obama. Thanks for nothing. Yeah.
It's got to be somebody's fault. Can't be us.
Nope.
So, but yeah, we were just discussing how, you know, this is all a conspiracy, and you guys just like to mess with Lisa and I.
It's a test. It's like, it's an initiation, I think.
Well, Jeremy, your first show, and I think we were only maybe three segments in, and I got like completely booted out. I was losing internet or something like that. I don't know what's our technical difficulties I was dealing with here in Bear Saskatchewan, but believe you me, I was dealing with them. And
yeah, I think it was the second segment. You were just gone.
Yeah, it was towards the end of the second segment, and I just got completely booted, and you just jumped right in there like a real trooper and handled it like a champ, and because of that, you're now a fiend, you know, in search of a wrestling name.
Yes. I actually, see, it's funny. I've given that some thought, and I did come up with something. It wasn't until, in all honesty, after you invited me on the first time, I did start thinking about it just in case. Didn't want to get my hopes up or anything. But it was at that point that I actually went to the Fiend site. I mean, I've been there plenty of times, but I actually went to look at everybody's name, and I had never realized that DJ was listed as a ferret, you know, the ferret. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer, because ferrets are kind of like, of all animals, I've always had an affinity for them, because I've had eight of them in my life, and at one point I had seven at one time. So I was just like, oh, it'll be a ferret. And then I was like, oh, that's already taken. So I thought about it. I do like the alliteration thing. I've always been considered an arguer. I've been told I should be a lawyer from a very young age. Since ferret's out of the question, and I like being silly, I wanted to pick a strange animal. So I thought maybe the bellicose bandicoot would fit me nicely. But that's just me.
I don't even know what in the happy Halloween that is.
And that makes it all the better for me, Lou, because it'll make people look that up and go, what the heck is a bandicoot?
Isn't it? I'm not going to try to guess, because
It's a small like a little rodent type. Kind of. Yeah. There was a popular video game called Crash Bandicoot.
Yes,
late 90s. Yes.
That's what I was thinking of.
And he looked nothing like an actual bandicoot. But I'm more than welcome to take suggestions. So I'm more than happy, rather, to take suggestions. So that's the best I could come up with so far.
You sure about that? It's probably already happening on Twitter right now.
Oh, nobody cares enough about me to tweet about me.
That's what you think.
Yeah, you have to spell that and send it to Michael.
I will do so. from the approval from the central scrutinizer. So what were we going to talk about?
I think the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, it was an article.
I came across. The other day, one of my friends was kind of engaged in a debate on Facebook about Obama, about the State of the Union address. And some people were giving Obama credit for the economy, and some people were saying, no, the economy is worse now because of him. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not how this works at all. It's the Federal Reserve that runs the economy. So I was looking for a resource to give to people to put on Facebook, of course. And I found this article from March, and it's written by Tom Mullen. And it's on the Huffington Post, which is kind of interesting to me, but the article is called "The Federal Reserve Runs the Economy, Not Congress or the President." And it's really good. The writer talks about how journalists tend to, and that's part of the problem. I know people are reading articles in mainstream news and it's not always accurate information. But he talks about how journalists overstate the importance of breaking news when the market makes big moves. And often those are predicted months in advance by serious traders. And a lot of that has very little to do with what the market actually did. And with the Fed's announcements, it's different. So what people don't understand is that the Fed actually runs the entire economy. So the article gives a really good explanation of how it actually works.
Now, I would say that it has a large impact on the economy overall, and it certainly drives the stock market. But as far as actually running the economy, because excuse me, one of the things I noticed in that article was that it rather downplayed the importance of taxes and regulations. And yeah, when you're looking at a difference between 35 and 39% in the tax rate, as he had mentioned in there, it's not really that big of a deal. And quite frankly, those that are in that type of a tax rate, the higher rate, they're probably in a position to where it's not going to cripple them so bad. But when you start looking at the regulations, and that is what really crushes and creates the barriers to entry for the smaller competitors to come in the market. So I think that has a greater impact than what he talks about.
Yeah, I saw that paragraph, and I wasn't really sure if he was completely correct about it, so I'm glad that you clarified that.
Yeah, but I agree with Lou, but I think what you said, at least, is it is still interesting that at least he touches on some of this, and the fact that this is something that was in HuffPost is kind of, it's one of those things that sneaks through. It's like when you find an article, like maybe in the New York Times, you go, what is that doing here? That doesn't make any sense. This goes completely against everything we know they believe in. So
Right. So I looked at the writer up to see.
it's like one of those things. I'm not sure if we should be like optimistic, or this is just like a needle in a haystack that just kind of like, oh, this one just slipped through and don't expect to see another one of these again type of deals.
Right.
There are a couple of politicians from the left part of it, from the left version of statism, like Bernie Sanders, will pay lip service to hating the Fed. It's not completely out of the realm of possibility that it might show up in the Huffington Post. The likelihood that you're going to see a lot of it, because they are on the lefty paradigm of statism, so they love the warfare state and the welfare state and all that other nonsense. I don't know. Maybe it's just dumb luck, but I think every once in a while they do pay lip service to, I don't know, like paying attention or something. Who knows?
Now, I don't know if either of you heard about this, and I haven't been able to verify it, but I heard that Bernie Sanders was going to vote against auditing the Fed, and that he had something to do with kind of rewording and changing. And some people say he actually gutted the bill and then voted yay to audit the Fed because he knew that it wasn't going to pass, and that if it did, a lot of what Rand Paul wanted in there wasn't in there anymore. Do you know if that? Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard it, but I can't verify that it is true.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, but that's one of those things that, unfortunately, it's kind of par for the course. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to believe that it could have happened, because it happens in almost every other bill that's ever gets passed with of any significance. They're always, I mean, heck, they go so far as to have a bill get passed one of that, you know, either the House or the Congress, even though they're only supposed to, they're supposed to go in one direction, but they never do. You know, and it'll be written up for something, and then it'll be scrapped, and it'll sit in somebody's desk, and then a year or two later, they'll bring up the same exact bill and literally gut the thing, turn it into something completely, not even the opposite, something that has nothing to do whatsoever, and then present it again and go, hey, here's this bill. Look at this. This is what you guys wanted. And then all the masses go, yay, we got what we wanted. even though nobody, including the people, other than the people who actually wrote it, know what's in it. But everybody goes, yay.
They have to pass it before they know what's in it.
Well, yes.
Isn't that the deal?
Pelosi will never live that line down, because it's so true. It's so true. That's really how it works.
Right.
I was on with Jim Babb, I don't know, a week and a half ago, something like that. I think, Lisa, you were on with me? Yeah? Maybe?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And Jim had touched on one of Harry Brown's seven rules for government. And it goes something like, whatever you imagine a law to be, or whatever you imagine government doing to get a particular result, don't expect the law to be written that way. Don't expect the result to be, you know, as you envision it. They're going to do their thing for their reasons. And I'm paraphrasing and butchering, but whatever you envision the law to be, it won't be. And yeah, when it comes to, like, audit the Fed, and maybe I'm just a little bit too cynical, but I am over the age of five, so I don't really expect the Fed to be audited. And if it is audited, I don't expect it to be a legitimate audit, because, you know, let's be honest. Do you think the politicians that benefit so greatly from the welfare warfare state are going to just, you know, give all that up?
Nope.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Freedom Fiends. So, anyway, yeah, Jeremy, so what I did was I went into the Fiend phone server at GCN, and I adjusted the latency a little bit to make sure that we're not, you know, getting backed up and getting knocked out and all that stuff. So hopefully that'll help things out a little bit.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if you ever hear that skipping sound, you know, like I think Nick had that like a week or so ago. You hear the skipping sound and the breaking up. You can do that little adjustment on the Fiend phone server. Well, I can. You don't have the password.
I do not have that power.
I knew that we were being left out of something, Jeremy.
It's okay.
We're not initiated yet.
Well, you still don't know the secret handshake or the special code words. You know, none of that stuff. Maybe at Porkfest after the hazing rituals.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. So I'm.
Did
I'm
I say open. I was going to that?
Oh yes, you
are.
Did.
You are now, Lisa.
Oh, you
will be dragged there. You will be dragged there, kicking and screaming. You have no choice in the matter anymore.
and she'll be dragged home, kicking and screaming too. No, I don't want to leave. So
I believe that.
Yeah,
I'm psyched about it.
You guys are going to enjoy it. You guys are going to enjoy it. So anyway, yeah, back to the Fed. And I started a point before we went to break, and that is, who really expects the Fed to be audited? I mean, who honestly expects an honest audit where, you know, all the books are open and all the truth is revealed? Who is that naive? Who is that childish to believe that that's going to happen? Who believes that the politicians are going to give up all this power that they have by the ability to sell favors and have all these programs just because the Fed can print money off at the drop of a hat? And that this money could be created out of thin air and loaned to the government for the extravagance and everything else. And even more, let's say the Fed is as dirty as the Liberty statists think that they are. I mean, let's just say that it's, you know, just as complicit in everything as humanly possible. Do you really think they're going to incriminate themselves in that manner? Do you think they're going to say, "Oh, you got us. Here's our confession"? No, they're going to say, "Come back with a bear cat."
Well, of course.
They're not going to confess to any crimes.
Well, of course not. But to answer your question, though, unfortunately, based on at least what I can see out there, there's a number of million of people who are naive enough to believe that because they keep asking for it and thinking. But you're right, though, because what will happen if, even if, somehow, some way, somebody actually got a bill like that through that it was supposedly, you know, going to be done, it would be
gutted.
Yeah, exactly. Even if the, you know, the Tea Partiers or whoever, you know, whatever part of the statist paradigm that actually thinks that can happen and wants that to happen, even if they got exactly what they wanted, what would occur? It would be the Fort Knox audit all over again. Yeah. That's all it would be. It would be a photo op. Mm-hmm. It would be going in and getting to see, like, you'd go in and they'd hand you one book, you know, like one notebook, and go, "Okay, here's what you can look at. See, everything's up to date. Look, everything's good. Here you go. Okay, great. All right, moving on. Next room, please." That's what it would be. So,
well, let's go with another question. Who's going to do this audit? Is it going to be, I don't know, sitting members of Congress who benefit by having central banks and fiat currency? Do you think they're going to audit the Fed and cut their own, cut off their own, I'm trying to think of a word that's clean enough. Like, do you think they're going to cut off
their finger?
Yeah. Do you think they're going to cut off their own fingers, or maybe they'll get Ron Paul because he's beyond reproach, right? You know, yes. He can't be bought. You know, and they can threaten him all they want. You know, he's what, 80 years old already. Mm-hmm. You know, what's he afraid of? You know, he probably doesn't have a heck of a lot of time left on Earth, but he does have children and grandchildren, and, well, how do they usually phrase it? It'd be a shame if something were to happen to them. So, do you honestly expect an audit of the Fed? I'm asking this to the hopeful saps out there. Come on, grow up. There is no Santa Claus, and there will never be a true, clean audit of the Fed.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends second hour coming up after this trip to the Comic Con.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelps from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
The Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 and the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I got my Porky Pig thing going on. That's all, folks. So, hey, everybody, welcome to the show, new listeners. I'm Lou. I'm joined by Jeremy from the Seeds of Liberty podcast, and then also Lisa DeLascio of Nutritional Anarchy.
Yes, and we are here.
So, Jeremy, you are talking about undertaking a project in the next week or so, a personal project of self-improvement. And why don't you share with us what that is?
Yes, well, like you, Lou, I am, well, I say attempting, and I know I shouldn't say that, I should just say I'm doing, but I'm going to attempt, I'm going to say it anyway, to quit smoking again. I'm one of those people. I started when I was 13, I think I had my first cigarette, and by 14, I was already up to almost a pack a day, and, you know, smoked almost until my 30s. And then just up and quit one day because I was sick to my stomach. I mean, I felt like garbage, and I was also just depressed, and I felt miserable about myself, which is usually a time you would not think somebody would be able to do that, but I did. And I up and quit 5 years, no problem. And then I made the mistake of dating a girl, was a smoker, and said, oh, you can handle this. It's been 5 years, no problem. Yeah, sure enough, within a month, we were out camping, and she walked away for a pack of cigarettes for about 10 minutes, and by the time she came back, I had already smoked two, and I was off and running again. So now I am at the point where it's physically bothering me again, and I have had about enough, and after listening to you talk about it over the past couple of months, I think it's time. So that's my goal for next week I like the idea that you took about just picking one day and saying that's it, that's the day I'm going to do it. So I think that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna sit down and think about a day next week that I want to start with and just say that's it, I'm doing it, and hope for the best.
I actually stopped a day earlier than I had originally planned because I started coming down with a cold. But let me ask you a few questions, because
sure.
In my professional life, I deal with recovery from like mental illness, and I'm not a substance abuse counselor, but drugs and alcohol are something that my patients deal with. So I wind up having to deal with that, and nicotine addiction is a substance abuse issue. And what I would have to ask is, what exactly is your motivation to stop smoking? Why have you decided that you are going to stop, and why have you chosen now?
Probably the most important reason is my kids. You know, just health issues. You know, like I said, I'm starting to feel it again, where, you know, I went from not smoking for 5 years to starting back up again and then weaning on and off. But now I'm at the point where I'm back up to smoking a pack plus a day. So I feel it in my chest. I wake up every morning and, you know, you just have that lingering where you want to cough, but nothing comes out, and you could still almost feel something rattling around in your chest. And it just, it feels disgusting to me. And the money, because it's just way too, especially here in New Yorkistan, it is just way too darn expensive to smoke. I mean, heck, that was the other thing that really ticked me off about myself is when I quit originally, you know, what was that? Gosh, over 10 years ago now. When I quit, cigarettes had just creeped up around $3 a pack. And I was freaking then going, $3 a pack. Oh, I gotta quit now. And then 5 years later, I started up again when they were $8 a pack and like, oh, this is no big deal. So yeah, it's a combination of health and money. I just think it's time, honestly. I need to be a little more responsible with this stuff because I get lazy. And honestly, like, I have the nicotine addiction, obviously, because even when I have tried to stop, I've still carried a vape pen around with me. So the nicotine addiction is there. But for the most part, it's really the oral fixation that gets me, because that's always the problem I've had. Every time I've ever tried to quit, it's always been, I get bored, I get antsy, it's like the nicotine, I've flushed my system so many times doing the four days to flush your system, kind of. I've done that. And then it feels like that's gone, and then I just get antsy. And I've tried lollipops, I've tried gum, I've tried sunflower seeds, I've tried pretty much everything I've come across, and it doesn't satiate that need I have to just, which sounds horrible, to constantly put something in my mouth.
Are you planning on using a nicotine replacement, or are you planning on quitting cold turkey?
Well, I was going to, this time my plan was to go back down to the vape pen and start working my way downward, because the patches always gave me, they always made me feel nauseous. I've tried them a couple times in the past and I got nauseous from them, even cutting, like when Mike, we were talking before we actually went on, about cutting them in half and stuff like that. I've tried that. They always made me nauseous. The gums, all that stuff too. So cold turkey. I don't know. I think honestly the only reason I was able to pull that off last time was because, like I said, I was in a kind of a depressed state in my life. I didn't have much going on. I don't even think I was working at the time. So I was able to I literally locked myself in my bedroom for 4 days and only came out to get a drink of water and go to the bathroom. And the rest of the time I refused to leave my room just so I would not have the urge to go to the store and buy a pack of cigarettes or something. So my thought was I was going to go back to my vape pen and then start cutting down the nicotine levels.
I'm going to make a couple of suggestions here.
Sure. If
you're just using the vape pen, you're not getting away from that oral fixation. You're just changing it around. So kind of like it's kind of like a government reform. You're doing the same. You're doing the same thing, but you're doing it differently.
Never thought about that.
Yeah. You're still ingesting nicotine orally, just like smoking. Mm-hmm. Now. True. For me, I've been using the patch, and I've had, I'd say the first 2 weeks were pretty rough. My second Saturday night, I was just having the heck of a time, and I was coming up with, you know, I was starting to negotiate with myself, well, you can have one, and blah, blah, blah. And I kept going back to what I know to be true from times I tried to quit in the past, and that's one leads to two, two leads to three. Three leads to a trip to the gas station and, you know, hey, give me a pack of smokes. And so I actually had to stay strong. Now, I was not using my patch that weekend because I had originally thought, this thing's not doing anything for me. I don't feel any different. In the first few days, even with the patch, were a little bit rough, but they were nowhere near as bad as I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Saturday night, I was just having a heck of a time, but I said, nope. And I didn't wear a patch the day before or that day, and the next morning I put one on. It was doing a lot better. But I found that, like, on the times I have had problems, it would be like Saturday night, I'm sitting home, you know, just watching shows on the computer or something like that, not doing anything, not being active or anything like that. So it's not just replacing the oral fixation, it's also finding activity, it's finding things to do. Now, you had mentioned that you took a weekend and you locked yourself in your room, and that's probably a good thing because that's eliminating possible triggers, you know, things that might impact you, and you're like, oh, well, I need to, you know, I'm stressed out, I need to smoke, because when I quit smoking before, I was at work, and know, I'd say, oh, I'm having a rough day, and that was a convenient excuse to have one.
Oh, yeah.
And then surprisingly enough, or not surprisingly at all, the next day I was having a rough day. So break time, that's an excuse to have one. Yep. And then it's one at the end of the shift, and eventually it's stopping off at the gas station. Mm-hmm. So yeah. if you can find something to replace that oral fixation, the inhalation of the nicotine, the mouth action, for me, I've been using lemon drops. I have some nicotine lozenges. I haven't touched them yet, and that's mostly because I read the directions. I read the label. No, you're supposed to park it on like one side of your mouth. You're not supposed to swallow too often. And I'm just looking at this. I'm like, dude, you know, what is this nonsense? But
it's not a lozenge. That's a project. Jeez.
Yeah. In some regards, it is. You can't drink water. You can't drink anything like 15 minutes prior to using it. And the whole reason that I would use it would be if I was jonesing. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm getting ready to drop down to the 14 milligram patch. Mm-hmm. I've probably used maybe 20 to 25 patches so far. And because there's been days where I didn't put on a fresh one, you know, or I'd go a day and a half, something like that. But anyway, and then also days I didn't use a patch. But I'm getting ready to drop down to the 14. Now, here's an accomplishment. Today I needed to talk to a coworker, and she happened to be out in the smoke shack at work. So I went in there. I had my conversation. I was in there for, I don't know, a good 2 or 3 minutes. She was smoking with 2 other people, and I had absolutely no desire to smoke.
All right. Excellent. Good for you. So it's always the best feeling when you can get past that.
Yeah, so that is my first situation of being in truly close proximity to people smoking and not being triggered. And I've walked past the smoke shack. I've walked past people as I was going into Walmart. They're out at the front door smoking, and I've smelled it. I smell cigarette smoke all the time now. You know, whether anybody's smoking or not. I don't know. Maybe it's some subconscious. Maybe that's my addiction saying, "Lou, come back. We miss you." And me saying, "Yeah, it's not me. It's you."
Your sense of smell improves when you stop smoking. I used to help people quit for a living. So if you're interested, I have some tips I can offer really quick.
Yeah, go.
You made a living helping people quit, or you helped people quit for a living? we got about 30 seconds, Lisa. Go ahead and give some tips.
Okay, so one of the things is called a habit pair. So a lot of people who smoke cigarettes do smoke when they do other things. So like you were talking about taking a break. You take a break at work, and you go outside, and you have your cigarettes. That's a habit pair. And sometimes you have to completely break up your routine and completely change your day around, or at least as much as you can. I know there's limits when you're working somewhere, but that's one thing that can help. Yeah. That's one thing that can help. But allowing yourself to still take breaks, but instead of smoking, take deep breaths. That's another thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll definitely have to take all of this under advisement. I appreciate it, guys.
There's more, but we'll get to it.
Cool. We'll be back.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
And welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. Yeah, more silliness and goofballery going on during the break.
Oh yeah.
So, I'm crying now. Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah.
Good times.
Oh, boy.
Nothing like visual humor and conversations off there to confuse our audience.
Right?
Yeah. Best part of the show is during the breaks. So, anyway, Lisa, you had some more tips on how to stop smoking or to help reduce cravings and stuff like that. And I really like mm-hmm. what you mentioned about the habit pairing. Because one of the things I did was I really screwed up my schedule on when I was smoking, and mm-hmm. I changed it around so that it would be, so I wouldn't have that, it's 10 o'clock, it's time to smoke. And I've only had, I think, one or two times where I said, okay, it's time to smoke. I've also only had maybe one or two times where I've reached for my pack. So I really think that the positive attitude and the resignation of I'm not going to smoke anymore is the one of the biggest things that you can do.
Yeah, you really have to be ready. I was a hypnotherapist, and that's what my main business was, helping people stop smoking. And I would have people call and say, women would call and say, my husband needs to quit smoking. What can I do? Can I make him come there? And I'd say, does he want to stop? And she'd say, well, I don't know, but he really needs to. And like you said, Lou, one of the major factors is you have to be ready. You have to want to do it. You have to be in the right mindset. Otherwise, nothing's going to really work.
Yeah. The best thing that wife could do is quit nagging him.
Probably so.
Yeah. Right. He probably smokes because she's such a witch. So she should take her pointy hat and her broom, come over, see you, get hypnotized, and quit being such a witch.
Probably, yeah. Go. Sometimes I wanted to say that to people, not in those words, but I wanted to say, well, because I've had people who, their spouse snored, and I would hypnotize the person who was bothered by the snoring so that it wouldn't bother them as much, because obviously there's nothing I can do to help somebody stop snoring. It's a physical cause.
So you're like the government. you can't solve the actual problems. You just got to change the perception of them.
Right, you really do. And one major thing that I always tell people when they want to stop smoking is to call themselves a non-smoker. Don't say, I'm a smoker who's trying to quit, or I'm an ex-smoker. Say, I'm a non-smoker, because it's kind of like a fake it till you make it concept.
There you go.
Well, you smoke for 30 years. Yeah. You don't quit. You retire. I still want my pension.
That's a good way to look at it, too.
Show me the money.
Yeah, right. You hear drinkers say, I'm an alcoholic, but I'm sober. I personally think that wording is not really beneficial. It's better to say that, I'm not a drinker, for example. So saying you're not a smoker can be helpful.
By the way, if I just pop off with some random outburst, go ahead, keep talking. Just talk over me, because,
Well, that makes sense, though.
Hey, so is this where we start talking about acid now that we're all loopy?
Hey, there we go.
How's that for a segue?
Yeah, there you go.
I kind of figured you'd lead to that, but
it wasn't intentional. So mm-hmm. you
no,
discovered
kind of a natural.
Mm-hmm. You discovered some stuff, and while you're pulling up your articles and composing thoughts, mm-hmm. I'm going to ramble for a minute here. But anyway, you came up with some research on LSD. Now, I've never done LSD. I've never done anything stronger than cannabis. I don't think that you've done LSD before, have you, Lisa?
No. No, okay. I haven't.
Jeremy, because of the Fifth Amendment, we're not going to ask you that question.
I don't mind answering, Lou. It's okay. I have nothing to hide.
Okay, how many times have you tripped before?
I have done LSD in the past. Did you report to the police
so you could pay your debt to society?
No, I did not. But I did have a 2-hour conversation with Jesus one night. So that was interesting.
Close enough. Hey, when government is God, that's close enough. So, Lisa, what were the things that you came up with on the research of LSD as far as enhancing creativity and things like that?
Well, one of the things that I do for a living is I'm an editor of a mental health website. And recently I'm seeing a lot of news about psychedelics and how they're coming back into popularity within psychiatric care. So one of the things that right now, which isn't really in the realm of, you know, medical care, people are doing this kind of on the side, is LSD.
Okay, and we'll go into that in more detail when we come back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah, no, I'm not a hardcore prepper. I got enough stuff that I could take over a wildlife refuge. I have enough snacks to take over a wildlife refuge and not have to beg for public assistance. Not that I'm planning on it, but I could.
Hey, you never know. The urge might hit you.
Yeah, who knows? I might decide I want to go out to Oregon, but, you know, also I don't want to get, like, care packages of sex toys from the gym.
Fiend phone.
So anyway, going back to the dropping acid for creativity.
Uh-oh, I hear some furries.
This is Furries, the fiend phone, unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency service or exigency system. Depending on how you look at it. It started This started out as a service, sort of like the thing where they interrupt and go beep, but that it was a system. But now I think it's a service. I think it does so much good for me to just interrupt whoever's talking.
So you're like, you show up unwelcome and just interrupt and start screwing stuff up. I would like to unsubscribe. I don't want to pay you for your service. And if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to wave your flag around in front of your house.
Well, it's a little different because the government actually like co-ops things like airwaves and claims to own them and sell them back to you. But I actually, you know, I built this, so, you know, I can fire people. Don't make me take more prednisone and start firing people, man. I'll do it. Uh-oh. And then I'll eat like a ravenous cat.
I'm very hungry.
I'll nosh on your bones. So I want to talk about Dan. Well, I want to talk about LSD.
You do? Unrelated. You want to talk about LSD?
Can we do both?
Well, I'm not going to say that I've taken LSD 114 times because there are, in this day and age, like literally, like, you know, they'll come take your guns away for that. Or I don't know if they'll do that, but I know that there's a Canadian they won't let into America because he admitted he took acid 3 times back in the 60s. So
really?
I'm not going to say I've taken acid 114 times, but I will say that Cash Newman, who's loosely based on me in my first novel, took acid 114 times in that book of fiction. So let's just say that.
Okay.
And
who's,
you know,
this Canadian?
I don't know, but that's, I read about that somewhere. It's one of those, you know, one of those Tyranny Today things. No, I think he's a college professor. Google it. You know, Canadian can't get into America, LSD. It'll probably come up. So, you know, the first 3 times that Cash Newman took LSD, it expanded his consciousness. And the other 111 times just scared the hell out of him. But he kept doing it because he was still looking for the expansion of consciousness. And then one day he just, you know, you get the message, you hang up the phone. Something about being in the woods, in the redwoods, in the rain, north of San Francisco, and, you know, some girl, and he just never did it again. Basically, he quit taking acid about 15 years before he quit taking drugs. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, good for him.
Because his consciousness got so expanded that he was only interested in drugs like heroin and alcohol that turned down the volume rather than changed and scrambled the frequency anymore. I'm tripping all the time, and I haven't done acid in like 40 years, man. I'm like, you know, since I was 8 or 10 or something, 11. I don't know. But I haven't done acid. I haven't done drugs since I was 30, and I haven't done acid since I was about 22. if I ever, the character based on me, but I'm a psychedelic guy, and so is Dan. Dan's a psychedelic guy. I don't know if he's ever done drugs, but Dan quit the show, and I'm kind of, I don't know if I'm mad at him. I'm just like, well, I am mad at him because he didn't give me notice on a show. He said, yeah, I'll be there in 6 hours, and then didn't show up and didn't reply to me for 24 hours. So you flake, I make fun of you on the air. You know, that's the rule. So, so he did that, but he also, I'm leaving the door open. I moved him on the website from current host to on indefinite sabbatical. So anytime Dan wants to come back, he can come back. Same thing with MK Lords and, Davi Barker and, yeah, not Nick, not that other girl though. I'm not going to say her name. Okay. but,
yeah. They're bigger, greener buttons.
Oh, no, I invited her back today. I invited Mrs. Dan back today, but she's working nights, so she can't do it. Mrs., I don't know, the woman that, yes, Dan's wife. Dan's bigger buttons, that one. So
Katie?
Katie, yeah. So then there was another Katie, and then there was that other woman that I'm not going to say her initials. She lives in Maryland, though. Not you know.
I you already said her name.
I could send Lisa over to, like, you know, put dead mice on her door or something. She doesn't live that far from you.
I know who you mean.
Yeah. Well,
Lisa's met her recently.
Yeah,
I know her. She quit. She, like, started flaking, you know? And if you flake, I got no use for you. I mean, if you tell me I can't do shows for 6 months, talk to me then, that's no problem. But if you just, like, quit responding to emails, that's flaking, and, you know, not showing up where you say you're gonna. And I fired her, and I said, you know, I can't use you anymore. I gotta, you know, take you off the schedule. And she, like, got mad. And now I accidentally said before that she blocked me on Facebook. She didn't. What I meant was she unfriended me, which is snitty, like passive aggressively, like, oh, you fired me for flaking. I'm not your friend anymore. No, you just, you know, we're friends. You're just a flake. So, yeah. Mm. And yeah, North Dakota initials. So, I want to talk about Dan. Dan, I miss Dan. I think Dan is missing. He may be dehydrated. He may need snacks. So if anyone listening in Scotland sees Dan, if he's your mailman or whatever, you know, tell him to get back on the Fiends. Tell him we want him. Scottish lives matter.
Send him a shipment of
oh
what
things that Diana Davison says gets us kicked off of stations.
I don't even know what that is. I talked to her today too. I want her back too. I mean, she's not gone, she's just busy.
I miss doing shows with her.
Yeah, she's fun.
She's a lot of fun, even when she speaks Canadian.
I know. Well, we don't have enough foreigners anymore. We got a Mexican and we got a Canadian, but we don't have a Scotsman or a Scotswoman anymore.
And we technically don't even have a Muslim right now either.
No. I know. Mm. We got a couple of queers though. I'm just saying that out of love, because I heard some guy called into Free Talk Live today and was talking about, well, the queers, and Ian was like just ruining this guy for using the word queers, and I'm going to use the word and see what Ian says, because I don't think he'll ruin me for it, because, you know, I've probably had more I've had more sex with men than some gay men I know, and I'm basically straight, you know. But I was on drugs. I blame the drugs. But, you know, when you blame the drugs, when you blame the prednisone, or you blame the crystal meth, or you blame the LSD back in the days, it's like, is it really, can you really blame it? You know, it's like David Bowie saying, you know, the cocaine made him give a Nazi salute and say that the UK needed a fascist leader to get rid of those immigrants, or went, you know, I don't think you can really blame the drug. I think wine brings truth is what it is, you know, so.
In vino veritas.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You can't blame the alcohol. The alcohol does the opposite. It brings out the truth. So
the crystal meth brought out the truth.
It makes everyone gay, though, man. It really does. It makes you want to put on lingerie and, like, cut it up and stretch it in front of a mirror. And, like, you know, you can be there. Like yeah, I've been there with a
lotion on.
It does. I mean, I've been on that stuff to, 25 years ago in a room with like the most beautiful, willing room woman in the world, and or two of them. And I'm like, yeah, give me your lingerie and get the heck out of here, man. Leave the rags. Leave the bag. Man. Are we still on radio? I'm picturing like one of those big like old timey Frankenstein switches that like you pull down like in the movies when they're like electrocuting someone in the electric chair that just like turns off. There's some radio station right now and there's just like some guy running and he can't find the key to get in the room. It's locked and he's like breaking the window to get in there and pull that switch and it just like turns off the whole building's electricity in the transmitter.
Someone pull the plug now.
I know. Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm trying to get Jeremy to like call and get us on more stations. Like, yeah. We're going to have some openings tomorrow, man.
I'll make sure to send him a copy of this episode, too.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what we would like you to have on your station.
Sometimes when they're interested, you send them the 2-minute demo and you send them the description. They're like, okay. I'm interested. Send me a link to a full episode. Yeah, and then just send him this one.
And then you never hear back from him. I wonder why.
Yeah.
The full episode to send is opposite day. Davi and James and I did the improv.
When you guys were the statist guys? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that really had polarizing effects on people. Like, a bunch of people thought it was really funny, including me. And a bunch of people were like, it wasn't even like this was funny for 2 minutes and then I got tired of it. It was like they hated it from like really? They couldn't suspend statism, you know, like newly minted anarchists mostly who were like they just didn't they couldn't stand those words coming out of our mouths.
Well, makes sense. I thought it was funny as heck.
Yeah,
it was funny as heck. It really
some
was.
People just have different tastes and they're dumb.
Some people take things too seriously, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, though. And Hillary, her pantsuit stinks. I can smell it from here. That's not very nice.
Oh. Yeah, that's got awful.
That's kind of frightening.
You know, I was supposed to go hear Timothy Leary speak at Edinburgh College in Pennsylvania when I was 15. I was going to go with these friends of mine that were like 20, and my dad wouldn't let me go. And I should call him up right now and wake him up. He's 94. I should yell at him on the radio for that. I'm still mad about that.
That would have been a really cool experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. You blamed your dad for that. When you started that story, I thought it was going to end with LSD got in the way of getting you to go see Timothy Leary, which would have been terribly ironic. But
no, but my dad was worried really about me hearing the words of Timothy Leary, and it was too late for that because I'd already read his book High Priest, but and done acid. Well, the character based in the book about me had, but yes. Really, like it's probably good that I didn't go with him because you know. It was a car full of stoners probably smoking pot on the highway. That's not where you want to be when you're a kid. No. For a number of reasons. See, now I just, I could probably find that talk on YouTube and go watch it.
How about that?
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
They put Michael Dean back in his cage, so he'll be clean and family friendly here. I'm not a shock jock, man. This is just how I live. Like I think like this and live like I'm moderating for airtime for radio.
Yes, you are.
This is the toned down version of me.
You're rather reserved and, well, I'm not going to go as far as to say refined, but you're definitely better behaved than the average radio personality. particularly on the show too.
Yeah, well, I've been like around you guys drunk at Porkfest, and I stay up later partying harder than you guys do, and you're all drunk, and I don't drink.
Well, that's because you don't sleep, but you have to remember.
Well, I sleep all day.
Yeah. You're like a raccoon. you sleep all day. You come out when it gets dark.
You're very hungry.
You scurry around the assault kitchen looking for scraps.
Have you seen that?
And if you see Michael during the day, you should probably run.
Yeah, because he's rabid. Have you guys seen that parody of the Free State Project? No, but I want to now.
The Free Status Project. Free Status Project.
There's a website, so I can't remember what it is, but it's basically like it's about moving 20,000 dependency-minded people to Massachusetts, and instead of a porcupine, it's a raccoon is their animal. Yeah, what is that thing called?
I want to say it's a Free Status Project.
No, it's not.
Is it Stop Free State?
No.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, well,
not while we all start doing Google searches on the air.
I'm looking for it. I'm trying to find it.
I have two computers and a cell phone within a hand's reach, so I should be able to find it. But
I'm Googling move 20,000 dependency minded people to Massachusetts and raccoon.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out what to
it's
Googling.
Not coming up, man.
Status raccoons. I don't know.
Hang on. Okay, I
you guys haven't seen this. It's old. It's been around for like this website's been around for like 10 years, like almost as long as the Free State Project.
Since the Free State Project, yeah. It's pretty funny though.
I just did a Google search and it says, "Did you mean Free Statistic Project?"
I got the same thing, and then I got a Reddit thread and it says, "As a statist, I'm entirely in favor of raccoon and human rights, but I don't know what this whole." Conversations. Should I click on it?
Raccoon rights.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, when did you actually?
It's put the free in lunch 20, project.
Yeah.
It's the free lunch project.
Oh, that's perfect.
Freelunchproject.com, and it says less liberty is their goal. This is it.
I found it. That's great.
Wait, this is actually a new thing. This isn't the
That's
one.
That's a ferret.
I think this is an update. This looks different. It says dependence in our lifetime. It's a ferret, and it says it's a universal agreement to demand social justice, a one world governance, and dependence in our lifetime. Our newsletter, there isn't one. That would require effort. I'm busy eating my free lunch. If I'd hire you, but I don't have money. After my rent, bills, music festivals, and taxes, I'm left with only $5. Only the state. Building roads is a complicated and tedious endeavor. Pay your share. This is awesome. This is so funny. Homeland Security World Tour. Enemies. Free State Project, New Hampshire Liberty Forum, and Porkfest.com. That's their link page. It's called Enemies.
Yeah, visual humor on the radio. There's a picture of a... What is that? A weasel riding a woodpecker?
Yes. Is that real?
Oh, my goodness. It sure
I think
is.
That's real. That's hilarious. The Free Ride Project. Less liberty. Yeah.
Do you see the map?
Yeah. Reporters Without Borders. They're trying to find the least free, more free lunch places to go. Wow.
Yeah. What's really interesting is, like, there's already 200 million active participants here in America.
Only that many?
Well, we're talking active, dedicated participants.
Oh, there you go.
Free lunch project, man.
Yeah, it's about 97 million that just dabble in it.
Yeah. They're too apathetic to be sold on it completely.
Well, they're kind of like Michael. They just dabble. They grab what's close. Which is why I did have
food
some
concerns. Of food I bought. I gave you like $300 to buy that food for all the fiends for that party.
Well, I wasn't talking about the food. You were eyeballing Derek J.
No. I'd do all
my
fees.
Oh, man, now we're running out of time. I need to hear
Here's
that
the
story.
Quote. I'd do all my fees. I bet you didn't know you were going to get sexually harassed, Jeremy, when you came on the show tonight.
No.
Quasar was expecting it.
I have your home phone number.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Worms.
FreedomFiends.com. Worm.